Welcome to Wine About History. I'm your host, Max Hamill, and with me is Patty.
Hello, everybody.
And today we are talking about a very unknown figure, General George C. Marshall.
We like our unknown figures, don't we?
We do. But what? Speaking of the unknown, what are we drinking tonight?
Oh, good question. You bought it, so.
I bought it. We're drinking Victorian Claret. Ooh. From Gunak, the North Coast. It is made in 2015, so it's been very well aged. And I found out something important today. There's between a claret. What claret means is an English term to describe red wines from the Bordeaux region of France.
Oh.
So the difference between a Bordeaux and a claret is English snobbery.
Ah. I never knew that before.
It's not true, technically. But yeah, it's their word for fancy red wines from Bordeaux, as opposed
okay.
to Bordeaux, technically.
Well, all right, so let me ask you this. If it's a Bordeaux from Bordeaux, France, why is it English?
Oh, that's just their term for it. Probably because they import it and do things with it.
Oh, all right, gotcha. Okay, let's try it. Enough talking about this claret. Let's drink it. Max is doing that fancy wine sniff and slurp.
Can you hear the smelling? I smell a cherry.
Yeah. I don't know if this is like my favorite type of wine. I mean, it's interesting and I like trying. Yeah, I mean, it's good. It's just, I don't know. It might grow on me by the end of the podcast.
That happens a lot. Initial first take. Three times it's happened to me on the show. I've drunk a wine and...
You didn't like it at first, but then it grew on
mm-hmm.
you? Maybe if I did that fancy slurpy sip that you do,
yes,
I might
do
like
the
it
fancy
better.
Slurpy sip. So I definitely taste some chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of cherry. In fact, to be frank, the cherry is a little overwhelming.
That could be. You know, this would be like a good mulled wine since it's Christmas time. I usually do make that Swedish drink called glögg. I think it's called glögg. At least that's what somebody told me. It's not spelled like that, but
I learned that it's called glögg, not glug, from a Swede.
Me too. I went to the Swedish American Institute in Minneapolis, and I ordered it, and I said, "How do you pronounce that?" And the woman said, "Glug," like glug glug. I'm like, I can remember that.
What's interesting is I told everyone to pronounce glug in the family, and no one believed me.
Yeah, and Max is Swedish, part Swedish anyway.
So,
anyway, we should probably talk about some history.
About George C. Marshall.
Let's do that.
Who you don't hear about because he didn't have a crazy adventure life. This is going to be like a fun, wacky episode. We talk about amazing exploits and courageous heroes. This is talking about someone who's a bit more reserved, but someone who changed history probably several times.
Wow.
So his name is George C. Marshall. He was born in Uniontown, Pennsylvania in 1880 to an old Virginia settler family that moved to Pennsylvania. His father was a prosperous coal and coke merchant. Now, coke, not the drink. Coke is what is a derivative product caused by the destructive distillation of coal. So basically, it's a side product of coal. Both can be used as fuel, but coke actually has a higher carbon content and fewer impurities. So it's also used as an iron ore smelting agent.
Never knew that.
Now
is it
do.
Coke spelled like K-O-C-H? Or
it's spelled like Coke the drink and cocaine.
Oh, it is.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Never mind. I was just thinking of the coke refinery, but that's different. That's the Koch brothers.
Oil.
Okay. Never mind.
That's oil. But it is the Koch brothers, yes.
Okay.
I think everyone knows where we are now. Oh, they're in Minnesota. So.
Where there's like a foot of snow already.
Don't bring it up. So George, his family was successful, but he wanted to become a soldier. So at the age of 17, he joined the Virginia Military Institute. And he wanted to become a leader, so he took all the necessary requirements and roles. He wasn't very good at first, but he worked very hard and finished as first captain in the Corps of Cadets. And I don't really know what that means, but I think it's a good thing.
I bet it is.
So he graduated from college in 1901. 1901, and received a commission of second lieutenant in the infantry. And then he married his wife, Elizabeth Cole, in February of 1902. And then he was deployed to the Philippines, which is actually an American colony back then, which is weird. We had colonies, yeah.
I don't think we were
into it. I think it was one of those political things where just like we just ended up having this. What happened? How did we get this? This isn't okay. So he spent there 18 months, and he developed rigorous attitudes of self-discipline and ability to learn and skills as a leader. He was known for being one of those quiet, calm, confident people, very humble, brings out the best in people. And he also had a very carefully controlled temper.
And he's that's a good thing to have.
He's very aloof around people too, but he's very, very kind to those who are close to him. So it's like a movie character. And in World War I, he was attached to the 1st Division as Chief of Operations. And then he was promoted to Chief of Operations for the 1st Army. And in his book, Memoirs of My Service in the World War, he details the Battle of, I'm going to pronounce this wrong, Katagini, which was the first American victory, which he planned out. And his horse fell on him while he's planning it out.
Ouch.
Spraining his ankle and badly bruising his foot. Now, it doesn't sprain ankle, bruise foot, doesn't sound too much, but imagine that happened because a horse fell on you.
That would be a bad one.
That would be a bad sprain.
Well, he's lucky that's all it was. Mm-hmm.
So he had his medic...
Horses are big.
Tape it up. So he wouldn't have to be medevaced.
So it probably hurt him a lot.
It probably wasn't like a little bruise. It was like his foot was swollen. He couldn't walk on it. People stared from the other side of the street.
It was in agony. Yeah.
Now, during and after the war, he was mentored by General John J. Pershing, also known as Black Jack Pershing.
That name sounds kind of familiar.
He's one of our greatest generals.
And that's why.
And he was the reason he was called Black Jack is he commanded African-American troops, and he really liked them. In a time period where you're not really supposed to.
Did we do an episode on him?
Not yet.
Oh, okay.
No, we did an episode on someone under his command, Anthony Johnson. In 1924, this is back to Marshall, he taught at Fort Benning, Georgia. And he molded many of the great minds that would help win World War II.
Oh, okay.
So not only was he a big part of World War II, which I'll get to, I promise, he created the officer corps that would win it. So he was happily married for 25 years until his first wife passed. And then he remarried the widow Catherine Brown and raised her 3 children as own.
Did he have any kids with his first wife?
No, he did not. Okay. So in 1944, he became general of the U.S. Army. And he immediately put all of his energy in creating a fighting force that would change history. Army went from a force of 200,000 to 8,300,000 troops. And Winston Churchill called him the organizer of victory.
Wow. That's high praise coming from Churchill, because he knew this stuff.
He was not, you know, like Patton commanding in the front. He wasn't like MacArthur running around doing this, doing that. He was winning the war through logistics, which is one of the most important things to do.
Yeah.
Whenever you're trying to attempt a project, just break down the logistics of it. So he also attended and contributed to all the important Allied conferences, and he was kept in Washington because he was too valuable to be overseas.
Wow, they needed his mind.
And after the war was won, there was actually a very famous story that Orson Welles told. Orson Welles knew Winston Churchill. He had met Hitler. Orson Welles is a very famous director who changed movies with Citizen Kane, which he made. But he was on the Dick Cavett Show talking about great people he'd known. He said, George Marshall was the greatest man I ever knew. He was a great man because he was the commanding general for all the Allied forces, but he was also a good man. Orson Welles was at a party in which he was being rewarded for drumming up political favor for FDR. And he was one of the only civilians there. And then when no one was looking, a GI popped his head in the door and saw General Marshall and said, "Wow, General Marshall, can I come over and talk to you?" And Jeremiah Marshall said, sure, come over. Come on over. And just sat him down for a few minutes and talked to him. And no one knew this was why. No one saw it but Wells. And Marshall did not know anyone was looking. And the conversation he had with that young boy brought him back from war, back to America, and made him feel at home.
Aww.
And that's, keep in mind, this man commanded everyone, and he took time at a party, a celebration, of to just look after a single soldier.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
Now, I'll put the story in the show notes. By the way, I do not know if the Dick Cavett Show is copywritten, but yeah, the copyright goes to his estate or what have you, whoever owns that little clip from that interview.
Oh. Yeah, I think the Dick Cavett Show might have even been before I was born. It sounds familiar. It sounds like something my parents would have watched.
Yeah, I'm not getting sued. I don't have anything of value, so they'll just take the mics. So after the war, his diplomatic career was very, very humble. He simply proposed a plan that brought war-torn Europe out of chaos and into a functional future. The Marshall Plan.
Oh, I've heard of that. Yeah, I have heard of that. Okay.
And won him the Nobel Peace Prize.
Wow.
Very, very humble. Very, very small role in fixing Europe after the war.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
So he helped create NATO. And then he had to leave his position in 1949 because his health was getting bad. But came back in his 70s to help with the Korean War, another thing we should cover.
And this Korean War wasn't in the 70s.
No, he came back in his 70s. He
was 70. Gotcha. Yeah. Okay.
The Korean War was in the 50s. You're
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
And he retired, and he was Secretary of Defense for just a year to get the war running right. And just before his 75th birthday, he retired from being a pillar of our nation.
Wow, that's amazing. Okay, now I guess I haven't heard of him, but I've heard of the Marshall Plan. Mm-hmm. And obviously I've heard of NATO, but I didn't know he did all that. That's mm-hmm. so incredible. Yeah, so a lot of people that would have done something like that would have done a lot to call attention to themselves. They may have run for office. They may have done all mm-hmm. kinds of things.
MacArthur. But
yeah. Some people are just out there. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm glad you brought him up. I'm glad our listeners got to hear about this guy. He sounds like a gem.
I didn't go as many rants as I have in our other podcasts. I want to. And
go for it. Rant away. Wine about history.
What do you think of the wine now?
It's growing on me. It is.
So.
A few sips in and yeah. I don't know. This isn't the type of wine I usually go for.
Well, you're a white
This would
person.
Be good with, like, I am. This would be good with meal, I think. Just kind of round out a good meal. Yeah. That's what I think of it. But, yeah, it's all right.
When I heard about him, I had to do an episode on him because I didn't know where he was. And I literally, I'm a history nut. Mm-hmm. I didn't know who he was at all. And it's really amazing that he won the war with his mind as a command of logistics.
Do you have any for instances of any battles that he...
Well, Katyni.
What's that?
Katyni. Just everything.
He
calculated everything.
But in World
everything.
War II, do you mm-hmm. have any...
I actually don't.
Okay. Well, it might be something to kind of look up.
I wanted to go deep and read the books mm-hmm. he's written, mm-hmm. but I knew if I did, it would turn into a... hour-long podcast.
An obsession.
An obsession, yes.
Well, now people just have a little taste, a little sample, and they can look up some, read his books, look up some of the stuff that he did. And
I like this to be little bits, for digestible bits for people to get interested
in
history.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I'm curious now. Mm-hmm. So never heard of him before this, and now I want to learn more. I've heard of his plan. But no, I'm interested in learning more about this guy. So, yeah, that's good. So, let's cheers to Mr. Marshall.
General Marshall.
Good General Marshall. Good job on winning World War II. So, we're not all speaking German right now.
So, now that we've run out of room to run around in. So,
will that wrap it up?
That wraps it up. Please like, comment, share, do all that you can. We're still working on that website. And mostly because I'm a nitpicker, perfectionist, I want it just right, and it probably will be a complete mess. Another thing, too, I don't know who we're going to cover next. So go ahead, fill us up with suggestions on Twitter, and I will see you in the next episode.
Sounds good. And remember, if it weren't for history...
Without history, we wouldn't be here.